Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed listening to that last episode with Layla. I certainly did. If you haven't, and you've somehow ended up on this link before listening to her, I would recommend you go back and have a listen to that episode. I had a lot of thoughts that I wanted to share about what Layla raised in our conversation. You know, as I mentioned early in that chat, I'm a big fan of Layla's work, her writing, the way that she thinks, and really the way that she articulates a lot of deep emotional and psychological thoughts and feelings on a personal level, but within a context, a wider socio-historical context that I personally find very helpful to sort of fortify my understanding and awareness of what some of the issues I personally face, like how much of it is just very individual, how much of it is linked and tied into a wider story of which I'm a part of. I guess also helps that I am a bit of a history buff, but I think in some ways I'm a history buff partly because of the stories that ultimately all encompass any culture or country or region's history, but also because it's helped me at times take certain situations, difficult ones, less personally, when I understand that whatever I am going through is part of a much wider, longer history. So, you know, related to that, what Layla said about intergenerational trauma, that, you know, tying into this collective Arab psyche, a wounded one, and that's made me reflect on my own emotions and how historically over time, different times, I've felt a pull into a sort of darker, denser, you know, frankly unhappier moments that weren't always necessarily relevant to my lived experience, in the sense that it belongs to another time and place and even person perhaps, but that I continue to carry some of its energy. I think my family history and story basically has many sub-stories within them that can attest to that. So there are many displacements and ruptures within it. It is a story that I am now in the process of writing into a book, my first book. My ancestry is mixed Arab, so from my mother's side, Syrian, and from my father's side, Libyan-Palestinian. And I was born in London, England. And my grandparents, my Libyan grandparents, had left Libya at the start of the 20th century because they were fleeing Italian imperialism, occupation of Libya. And they migrated basically to Palestine, which was a British mandate at the time. That's where my father was born in the 1930s. But he was fated to repeat his parents' exile when in 1948, when Israel occupied Palestine and was created as a country, became a refugee himself in Syria with his family. And he later was very actively involved in Libyan politics, revolutionary activities, was a politician in Libya and a diplomat in the UK, and then a political dissident. And my mother also left Syria and the 70s came to the UK. So, you know, from all sides, there's a lot of rupture, displacement, removal from roots and ancestry, family. And while I myself have been very privileged to grow up in safety and, you know, relative affluence in England, I do also feel like I have inherited a certain loneliness and loss within me that is not necessarily related to something I have directly been through. you know, even though I think it's fair to recognize that when you grow up in the diaspora, unless you've managed to take your entire tribe with you, you're often separated from your, you know, extended family, wider family, culture, heritage, origins, and that has can have some unwelcome consequences. So even though I didn't live in Palestine or in Libya, and don't have those organic daily memories that tie me to those places, whether we call it genetics or osmosis or perhaps a little bit of both, I do feel like a certain part of my anxiety and fears around loss, particularly of my family, stems from a sort of repeated family trauma of displacement. I mentioned in the latest conversation that I have a strong connection to Syria, which for most of my childhood, well, all of my childhood, remained open, accessible to me. And I used to spend my summers every year there. And I created so many just magnificent, wonderful memories in that country, which will forever remain with me, thankfully. But it has made the descent of Syria into warfare so heartbreaking for me. And perpetuated that sense of uprootedness and loss that I, you know, that I've mentioned having. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, as Leila mentioned, you know, that it is, it goes beyond its borders. There's a certain collective sense that we're tapping into with that loss and that trauma, and also just witnessing a country, you know, unravel so horridly. As a writer, I really enjoyed hearing Leila talk about her process of writing, as well as reading, of course, her wonderful books, which I really, really encourage you to do. But I really learned so much about the writers I should also be reading. I've always been an avid reader, but, you know, Leila raised a really good point about also reading about, reading from people who have lived through similar experiences, and her list of Arab female authors to read is definitely one that I'm going to pursue actively. I think writing and reading can be a truly healing process for several reasons. Because there's an energetic flow that comes from the feeling, turning into thinking, into actioning through the act of writing, that is really soothing, much like watching a stream of water is. You know, there's movement, the thoughts, the feelings, the ideas are transforming and moving, going somewhere, and there's also the sharing of stories. You know, the act of me writing my book is about me being seen, my family's being seen, my culture and being seen, but also a wider community. There's a lot of power and love and healing in seeing yourself and others, but in also widening representation in conversations. Reading for me is also a great source of comfort because it gets me often out of my own head and into someone else's, which for the most part is a really good practice for me to maintain, since I can swim in my head for hours, and not always with the best outcomes. So reading gives me an external focus, and with that focus, there's an empathy and understanding that I'm also forced to engage in when I read about other people's stories or other places. It does help when you come across beautiful writers like Leila Lambar, who elegantly relays the difficult truths of lives that have endured traumas, and who can take you into a world that you don't know, maybe you will hopefully never know, but that nonetheless does exist. Maybe that will help us all be more understanding and loving to one another. Also, I must admit that as a woman of Middle Eastern Arab descent, I do have a sense of pride and inspiration that the amazing female Arab writers Leyla and Amma shared with us on the podcast are not only an integral and enlightening part of my heritage, but they're also part of a cohort that I hope to be joining really soon. Thank you for listening.